Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Fourth and goal, clock running, offense on the field. They've got it down at the 2. Listen, I'm okay with this decision, but, you know, Ben Johnson is a wonderful play caller, a creative play caller. I think they're a little bit too far for the run game, but I would try to use Caleb Williams, a run-pass option, get him on the edge, but he has to have a chance to make this play. They go end around. Moore's going to toss it and into the end zone to a wide open Williams. Well, we saw the misdirection on multiple plays on this drive from Ben Johnson as he goes even deeper in his bag of tricks. And the Chicago Bears on the board here in Cincy.
What you see on that whole sequence? It's wide open.
I seen the person jetting up the field, and I knew Caleb was wide open, so I was just like, let me get around him and throw this. I have the choice to run, so I was like, nah, I'm not going to be selfish.
How did you grade your form on that?
I don't know. I just was like, get this ball out of my hand for the defense to come and try to take my head off.
That looked like this. Was that a Philly special, or did you have a different name for it?
I don't know what it was. I know it was a touchdown.
You going to join the quarterback group now?
No, I ain't joining the quarterback group.
DJ Moore talking about his touchdown toss. I believe the play was called Hot Potato, if you ask Caleb Williams. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I am just the appetizer of what this Monday has in store for you. I am leading you right into 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes takes over. And then, of course, he's the executive producer of Mully & Hall. And when Mully & Hall come on, they got 2 great guests for you. Olin Krutz, 7 o'clock, locked in, ready to give you his assessment of this Bears game. Then TJ Edwards, current Bears linebacker, would join Mully & Hall at 8 o'clock. Raheemian Harris with Mark Grody. We'll have Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Weeder at 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes. They got Kurt Warner for you at 3 o'clock. And then at 5:25, Chris Emma will join the fellas, who obviously Chris was in Cincinnati at that game. Now, I was going to do the one-day trip. My brother went out there. Shout out my brother Brandon. Maybe he's on his way back right now still. But he got out there Friday. And then a couple of buddies and I were discussing the possibility of, you know, leaving at 5 in the morning on Sunday, getting there. But then I was concerned about getting back to do the shift. I was like, damn, guys, if the game ends at 4, and then, you know, if we're having a couple of bevvies, and then if we run into any kind of, like, traffic jam on the way back, like, if I'm not back at midnight, it's going to be a problem. So I decided not to do that. But I wish I would have. Probably would have been one of the better games that I ever would have experienced. Bears take down the Cincinnati Bengals, of course, 47-42. A lot of things to talk about in this one, but the phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. A lot of things to take away in this game. I'm curious what your thoughts are on Caleb Williams' performance. Because I asked a question before the break. Would Caleb Williams have won this game had Kyle Manunga not rushed for 176 yards? Think about that for a second. Because Caleb Williams did do the one thing franchise quarterbacks have to do, and that's erase everybody's mistakes in the final minute. Like, if you're a franchise quarterback and you want to be deemed the top 10 QB in this league, that's what you have to do. You have to make the post games, like this one right here, the post game, be about the victory and not about all the nuanced mistakes. Down one, 17 seconds left, you rip a 58-yard game winner to Coastal Loveland. Ice cold. That's what you were. But here's my beef, right? That it took that long to put the ball in harm's way for Cincinnati, right? Like, you're gashing them on the ground. Like, if you're looking at the stats, you think the Bears won this handily. And they should have. Up 14 with a couple minutes left to go. Like, why are we discussing this? How often does an onside kick hit the back of a foot of somebody else and then casually land into the opponent's hand? That just doesn't happen. So, I don't know. If you got those kinds of, if you got that in your bag, like, you got to just take care of it early. Don't wait until the final 2 minutes to unleash it. And what I'm talking about specifically with Caleb Williams is, and it's becoming an issue where we're all seeing it. I want his back foot to reach the end of his five-step drop, and I want it to be used to push off of in order to make a throw. Not push off of to continue to scramble, or not push off of to get out of the pocket, or not do that half 360 turn that you do consistently that gets you out of harm's way more often than not. But it's just not where I want you to be. I guess I'm upset because I predicted Caleb Williams to have a big game. I thought Kyle Manunga would hit his unders. I didn't think the Bears were going to lean on him as much. And I don't think Ben Johnson thought he was going to lean on Kyle Manunga either. Because let's be honest, Kyle Manunga, I mean, geez. He didn't just eat. He wasn't out there eating like the kids do on the TikTok videos. He set the table, lit the candles, did the dishes. I mean, 26 carries, 176 yards, almost 7 yards a carry. I mean, that's got the game ball. As your rookie seventh round running back, it says a lot that Ben Johnson, and you heard Caleb talk about it in the post game. Ben Johnson talked about it in the post game that, you know, he was the workhorse at Rutgers. It is difficult to get him down. And that's what you saw. So they weren't surprised by it. I was surprised at how often he got it. Now, Grant Leader, our producer today, did some great research. Kyle Manunga had 26 carries. I thought to myself, damn, had Jahmyr Gibbs or David Montgomery ever had 26 carries in a Ben Johnson-led offense? Once. Both of them. Once.
Each of them, yeah. So twice.
Well, both of them. Each had it once.
Each had it once. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
So again, they only had it one, they only recorded that number one time, and Kyle Manunga did it in his first start for Benny J. What does that tell you? That wasn't the game plan. But he was able to set the tone. And again, when Caleb Williams doesn't have to play hero ball for three quarters, you can say that's coaching. But I think it was more necessity. Felt like he couldn't lean on Caleb Williams in certain moments. So again, it's like you can't let the chaos define this game. You got to talk about where you should have been and what should have happened. I mean, the defense, 40-year-old Joe Flacco just dropping 470 yards on you, two late touchdowns. They're calling it one of the greatest games Joe Flacco's ever played. They didn't think Bears were going to be able to come back and put a tutty on the board. Of course, he ends up taking the lead. It's just unacceptable. Great teams have to close. And up 14 with a couple minutes left, I mean, come on. It was almost like you were just tucked. It's like you were up 14, and as a Bears fan, you were ready to go to sleep. And then, you know, what you're used to came back to haunt you. Chaos. Horror, two touchdowns and a two-point conversion. It's like the negativity was tucking you into your bed, fluffing your pillow for you so you could lay down and just have a bad day. Had some pass rush there. Kevin, you know, there was some stuff on the defensive side of the ball for the Chicago Bears that you said, you know, wasn't too bad. Sacks by Gardner Johnson. It was good to see him get into the backfield, which he almost didn't. Looked like he was like pushing him and then finally realized he still had the ball and that he had to tackle him. Montez Sweat, I thought that should have been a fumble. I know Gene Steratore was on there explaining to me what he thought happened, but that ball looked out like he was already fumbling the ball prior to it going forward. So I thought that should have been good. And then to see Austin Booker get back there, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Because it seemed like you had a speedy edge rusher that was making the offensive tackles uncomfortable. And that's what you saw with Austin Booker. So I was happy about that. Travis Homer had himself a couple tackles. That was crazy playing defense. I mean, he had to get out there on the offensive defense side of the ball. Dio Odengbo, I think he left with an ankle injury. That was tough. Somebody tweeted out that Gardner Johnson already has more sacks or as many sacks as Dio Odengbo, which is tough.
Well, it's tough when you can't get on the field.
It's just hard. Secondary played well. 7 pass deflections. That was great for this team. Needed it. And then, of course, the interceptions by Nashawn Wright and Tremaine Edmonds. I know a lot of people were upset that Chase Brown got his little fingertips on Tremaine Edmonds and took away the touchdown. But I get the rule. It's kind of like the tuck rule with Tom Brady. It's like, got to make those rules so that way there isn't any ambiguity on what intentions are. So you touched him on the way down. I get it. Can't be too mad at that. But overall, I mean, when you're thinking about this game, I mean, this is a Bears team who had 17 passing first downs. Damn. That's a lot. By comparison, the Bengals had 22. Bears had 30 first downs in this one. 8 for 15 on third down. The efficiency that you're looking for would be above 500. Fourth down, they were 2 for 2. They ran 76 plays to the Bengals 65 and then put up 576 total yards. I mean, it was impressive to say that. You got a pass by Tyson Bagent in there, pass by DJ Moore involved there. 37 rushing attempts. Split down the middle. 37 passes, 37 rushes. Not the game plan I would have thought if I was going into this one. Again, you would just thought that Caleb Williams would have a little more. Bears put up 4 touchdowns in the 6 opportunities they had over in the red zone, but still penalties. 7 penalties for 43 yards for the Bears. Certainly an area of concern for this team. But curious what your thoughts are. Got a bunch of text messages coming in too. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. You got to be happy with yourself from Colston Loveland. 6 catches, 118 yards in the walk-off. You know, he needed that game to kind of say, I'm here. And you felt good. Like, damn, finally, the kid gets in the end zone twice. Big catch at the end. You just want to see a little more of that.
I got a question for you, Gabe.
Sure, I love that.
Do you think he's silenced the quote-unquote Tyler Warren comparisons?
No. Because I am the loud chorus on the other side.
I am too.
And so he did not silence me as a result. I'm glad he... Listen, the fact of the matter is this. You got to get a touchdown eventually.
It take you 8 games to get to it,
You got to catch the ball eventually. You're not the 10th pick for the Chicago Bears, and they're just not going to use you. So to look at one game, like, okay. In my group chats, this is the number one argument. It's Loveland versus Warren, and you got the Loveland apologists out there, and I get it. And I'm just like, they're like, oh, you can't judge people after 5 games. No, you're right, you can't. They both had college careers. And you can look at Tyler Warren's and say unequivocally it was better than Colston Loveland's. You can look at the start of the season and say unequivocally Tyler Warren has played better than Colston Loveland. Obviously, the efficiency and usage is different. Doesn't matter. Still better. And then after this game, all my friends are in the group chat and they're like, oh, what did Tyler Warren do today? Now, they weren't directing it at me. There's a lot of people that feel the way I feel. What did Tyler Warren? And I just responded and said, oh, so wait, so we are going by a game-by-game basis or are we not? Because first it was, you can't judge him off of a game. And now it's, you can judge him off of this game, though, because it was positive, I guess. That's what ends up happening. But listen, if he's going to threaten the seam like that, it's going to change how defenses play. DJ Moore and a help on Roma Dunze. That safety can't help on DJ if you get the ball up to Colston Loveland, which is really what you wanted. And just confidence in Caleb Williams, or excuse me, confidence in Colston Loveland from Caleb Williams to get him the ball. That's what it is. But again, a lot of things to talk about. It could be the arrival of Colston Loveland. It could be Kyle Manungai, the better rookie Who was the better rookie? Was it Kyle Manunga or was it your 10th pick in the draft, Colston Loveland, yesterday? Thoughts on Caleb Williams? Curious about that as well. If he felt like it was enough for you. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Aaron out in Markham. Aaron, talk to me a little bit about Caleb Williams and what you think he did.
Okay, I'll talk to you about Caleb Williams. I like him. But he might be the reason why Colston Loveland, why you don't see what you want to see out of him, because it's his job to get the ball to people. So I don't know if it's the reads. I don't know if he's winning on the routes, but it just looks like to me that Williams likes one receiver and wants to throw the ball to that. He will force the ball to that receiver while leaving other people open. So I don't know who to blame on that one. I will say this, though. It's parts in that game that I still say is coaching. Like, you get an interception and then you want to come back with a trick play when you have a running back that's eating them for lunch. And the simple thing would be to just hand the ball off and run it. And you want to do these little cute plays. And, yeah, they worked yesterday, but it was the Bengals' defense. Would those plays work against a top-rated defensive team? Not all of them. So I'm happy the Bears won, but sometimes simple is great. Get the first down, run the football, play action pass. I'm glad they finally got the ball to a good receiver yesterday and had him in the game plan. I hope they keep doing that because DJ Moore deserves the ball as much as possible. And, man, I'm still kind of upset they almost blew that game.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, you know, that they almost blew that one, Aaron. I mean, you talk about, you know, Caleb Williams. I said, because you mentioned Kyle Manunga and obviously how he carved up the Bengals defense. I felt that was a result of Ben Johnson not wanting to lean on Caleb Williams. And I feel like that happened as like in real time as the game was going on. Like, he tried to give him a chance. And then when Caleb wasn't acting right, he was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to give the ball to Kyle Manunga. Did you feel that same way?
Yeah, I felt that. And on top of – but here's the thing, though. I don't have a problem with that. You should lean on the running game. There's nothing – he's in his second year. So I'm okay. Lean on the running game. I'm fine with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You can win a Super Bowl with a good running game. We've seen it. There's nothing wrong with it, you know?
I'm going to say, Aaron, I'm going to tell you the problem with it, okay? I'm going to tell you the problem with it is that you have a choice – to lean on your number one pick in the draft. I don't care if it's the second year or not. You have a choice to lean on the number one pick in the draft, your quarterback, your QB1 that should be taking you there, when you have, as you mentioned, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Colston Loveland, and the running back. But you should be wanting to lean on, when you have the choice, in this situation with DeAndre Swift out, do I want to lean on Caleb Williams or do I want to lean on my seventh round rookie running back who's never started a game in the NFL? Like, when they end up leaning on that, that makes me concerned about the quarterback.
You're 100% wrong. And I'm going to tell you why you're 100% wrong. Because when you lean on the running back, you're leaning on the offensive line that you invested heavily in. You're leaning on a line that you gave up draft capital for and who you paid a center for. You're not leaning on the seventh-round draft pick. You're leaning on the offensive line to win the line of scrimmage, which will give the confidence to the quarterback. On top of this, man, let's think about this for a minute. When the coach drafted a quarterback number one, he sucked until he got a running back. Until he got to play with guys like Marshall Faulkner, Ezra and James, you would have considered him hot garbage. When you put the talent around him, you saw what he could do. So, no, lean on the running game. Let this man get comfortable. Let him set his feet. We know he has arm talent. But, I mean, no, lean on the running game because you're leaning on the offensive line. And I trust the offensive line over any player. I don't care if you took them number one or not. If the strength of your team is your offensive line, you can control the clock. If your defense sucks, looks like my defense sucks, you can keep them off the field.
All right, let me ask you this, Aaron. Let me ask you this. If Kyle Manungai doesn't rush for 176 yards on 26 carries, do the Bears win that game?
Man, you already know the answer to that. Answer is no.
And that's
you
why
you know the answer to that.
But Aaron, that's why it's a little concerning to me. Right? That when you talk about being right or being wrong, but like that's where my mind goes, where I'm like, damn, if Kyle Manungai doesn't have a Hall of Fame game, then we couldn't have leaned on our number one pick to win the game for us with a good offensive line that you're talking about. With a good offensive line, we still couldn't have leaned on Caleb in that game in particular. Can it change? Yes, and I'm here for the change. I'm here for the change.
Listen,
and I know that it will change. Aaron, I know that it will change, and I know that he will win these games for us in the future. But it is just damning that he couldn't do it in the present.
Pause. Give me a winning quarterback in your lifetime that did not have a running back to lean on. And I'll show you a guy who couldn't win a Super Bowl. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a cat by the name of Dan Marino that wish he could have played with a seventh-round draft pick called Kyle Manungai. Because that's the reason why he never won a Super Bowl. Are we talking about – you're talking about who you want to lean on? I'm talking about how we can win a Super Bowl. I think the conversation is totally different here. What you want Caleb Williams to do is to win the 2 minutes, the last 2 minutes of going into the half,
fair,
the last 2 minutes when you need to score. But throughout the game, run the football. It works. It's worked for over before I was born, and I was born in 81. Running the football works, brother. It's not because it does everything for the quarterback that you want done. It gives him quick reads, because they got to stop the run.
I hear you.
Just name one quarterback that didn't have a running game that won.
Patrick Mahomes.
That won. He still had a running game when they won.
But you hear what I'm saying, though, right? You hear what I'm saying, right?
I hear what you're saying, but had a run. And Patrick Mahomes is an outlier because his coach doesn't believe in running the football.
I'm just giving you an answer to your question. I'm just answering your question.
He didn't run the football when he had Ricky Waters in Philadelphia. That's an outlier. That is not the norm. But I give you good answer. Good answer. I get that to you. You're right.
Who was Tom Brady's running back all those years?
Corey Dillon.
I don't think that was top tier. Who was he when they
he
won?
Wasn't
when,
top
in Tampa
tier,
Bay.
But he run,
in Tampa Bay, who was his running back when they won that?
Leonard
game?
Fournette.
Okay, he was a beast, though. Okay, he's a beast.
Thank you.
He's a beast.
And he ran the ball enough up there to keep them honest. But he had some great tight ends. And what happened to do it until you stop it? What happened to that? Because up there in Massachusetts, he would throw to his tight ends every game, 30, 40 times a game. You had to stop it before they changed.
Yeah, we actually talked about that on the show, that Bill Belichick would run the ball down people's throats if he felt like they couldn't stop it. My take on that, Aaron, was that I feel like the Bears aren't good enough to be able to do something like that, right? Where you have an unknown in Kyle Manungai. And so it's not like the Bears went into the game like, oh, yeah, we're going to lean on Kyle Manungai because they're not going to be able to stop the run. No, they had it there to be balanced. 37 runs, 37 passes today in the game. I agree. Listen, if you're looking at this game in a funnel, then sure, or in a vacuum, then sure. Running game's great. Caleb did enough. Almost lost it at the end. Bears get the victory. I'm excited to go Bears. All right, now that I did that, let me take a step back and then say, but damn, this was supposed to be the game with no DeAndre Swift that Caleb Williams was supposed to come through and handle business, right? Because a Super Bowl winning team, as you said, or what you're trying to create, has to be one that you can lean on your quarterback. And it's been a while since we've seen Caleb Williams win the game. Now, you could point to the last 2 minutes and putting up points in the last 2 minutes, and I am 100% there for that conversation because he is one of the best in the league at putting up points in the last 2 minutes of halves. That is not even, you can't even argue that. But damn, can you put the Bears in a position to be up by multiple scores, you know, so that they don't have to deal with that? And I'm talking about Caleb doing that, not the ground game, not Kyle Manungai running for 176 yards. I'm talking about Caleb Williams completing passes, keeping the drives going, TOP, like, just, I don't know, just want a little bit more. Is that too hard to ask? Is that too much to ask for?
No, it's not.
It's not. For my number one pick quarterback. You want to know why it is, Aaron? This is the last thing I'll say. The reason why I want that, and I know you said, you know, running will get you Super Bowl, all that good stuff. The reason I want that is because I just want to wholeheartedly believe that Caleb is, like, elite. Elite, elite. And for you to be elite, elite, top five QB elite, you need to do things like that. And that's all I'm hoping for. All right, let me take one more before I go to break. Tony, out in Chicago, talk to me on my Manungai take.
All right, Gabe, here we go. I think you're off base in the sense that when Johnson's putting the game plan together, you have to exploit what Cincinnati can't do. Cincinnati cannot defend the run. They proved it against Cleveland when Quinshon Judkins came out of no players and ran the ball down their throats. Last week, the Jets and Breece Hall ran for like 150-some yards. And the Jets, who can't score against you and me playing defense, put 39 points on Cincinnati. I'm not saying that Ben Johnson sat there and said, hey, look, I'm going to lean on Manungai to the extent they did. But when he's running like that.
Tony, let me stop you. Let me just stop you real fast. Let me stop you real fast. You know who allows the second most yards in the air in the NFL? I know it. It's a rhetorical question. It's the Bengals. Okay, so we're talking about game plan. You're talking about the second worst team in the league at allowing rushing yards. Now, the worst team in passing yards. The worst team in rushing is the Cincinnati Bengals, right? So you're talking about a team that does both bad. But you couldn't say,
Let me ask you a question
Sure,
if you're putting a game plan together.
Mm-hmm. And it involves my seventh round rookie running back?
It doesn't matter if he's a seventh rounder or if he's undrafted. If the Bengals can't stop the run, if you can run the ball on them, you accomplish two things. You maintain control of the ball, and you keep the Cincinnati's offense off the field, which is what you wanted to do and what they did predominantly through the first half. You saw what happened when Cincinnati got control of the ball. They shredded the Bears' defense. And you sat there and said that the secondary had a good game because they had some tipped balls. They gave up so many receptions, it's not funny. Flacco threw for almost 500 yards. How can you say that the secondary had a good game?
Yeah, I don't think you heard me say the secondary had a good game. Pretty positive on that. No, I said they had deflections. Yeah. I didn't say they had a good game.
If you review the tape with the last gentleman, you said the secondary had a good game, that they had seven deflections. There's no way anybody could say that that secondary had a good game and actually believe that that's what you're saying. But beyond that, let me get to Caleb for a second. Eventually, Caleb may get to a point where we can lean on him, but you can't yet. His footwork is still horrible. His feet don't take him where it's supposed to on his progressions. He still can't find his second and third receivers fast enough, and he's too fast to run out of the pocket. And when he does, he's like a cornered rat. He runs in circles. You can't do that. If you watch the other quarterbacks that are in his draft class, Drake May, Bo Nix, they actually have a plan in place for scrambling out of the pocket, and it doesn't seem like the Bears have that. The receivers don't know where they're going when he scrambles because he scrambles in circles. But that's pretty much all I have for you, and I thank you for listening.
No, always, Tony. Always appreciate the phone call. 312-644-6767. Love all your thoughts. And listen, this is what 670 The Score is for, right, so that we can have discussions about the games, right, themselves and approaches. I think my biggest argument when it comes to Kyle Manungai, his success and the lack thereof of Caleb Williams, is that going into this game, one of my degrees is a behavioral communication. I'm constantly looking, reading, and understanding how people think, right? It's one of my obsessions. And so in order to think about when there's an issue, you have to think about things that deviate from the norm, right? There is a norm that is constantly in place. And whenever there's any deviation from that, that's when you can kind of look deeper and ask more questions about, you know, what a certain situation is. And so for me, it's looking at this Bears game against the Bengals in a very bad defense with no DeAndre Swift. And if I'm Ben Johnson, to me, the baseline, yeah, sure, you want to run the ball, but your assumption is not that you're going to put up 176 yards with your seventh-round rookie running back. It's just not what you're going into the game thinking. Your game plan is to have your pass pass game working, especially against the second worst passing defense in the NFL. But when that doesn't work in the middle of the game, right, when it's not working as efficiently as you want it to, then you have to say, well, screw it. I'm going to keep running the football. See, that's what I think happened in this game. Not that the Bears were like, yep, we're going to run the ball 26 times with Kyle Manungai, 26 times with your rookie running back. No, that does not happen out of a choice. That happens out of necessity. And that's what we saw with the Bears. But again, you could disagree with me, and I'd love to hear your take. 312-644-6767. We're taking your phone calls on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And we're taking your calls next, right here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Flacco probably doesn't have the arm to get it all the way to the end zone here. So if you're the Bears, no matter what happens, knock the ball down or tackle. Flacco trying to give these guys a shot, fires down the field, and it is picked. Nashawn Wright and the Chicago Bears survive. Joe Flacco in a potentially epic comeback by the Bengals, but in the end, it's the Bears in a thriller, 47-42.
That's right. That's the way the game ended. Bears take the lead in the last couple of seconds with a Colston Loveland touchdown from Caleb Williams, and then it's almost like the announcers felt bad for Joe Flacco. We're like, well, I don't know if he's going to be able to get it to the end zone. And sure as hell, he ended up coming down short. But again, I mean, let's not act like we saw, you know, the 85 Bears reborn. 47 points, obviously beautiful. Caleb Magic at the end, iconic. He's proven it time and time again. But you gave up 42 points to Joe Flacco in 2025. Joe Flacco. So if I'm celebrating, I'm celebrating while I do it. And that's exactly what was happening yesterday. The defense looked like it was trying to give away that game at the tail end. Special teams did not hurt. That phase of the game, certainly a weakness for the Chicago Bears. But if this team wants to be, you know, relevant in January, then they got to stop letting quarterbacks from, you know, that are unk status, you know what I'm saying, just beat you all up. But again, curious about your thoughts when it comes to this one. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. What were your big takeaways from this game? Was it that Caleb Williams, another game of sub-60% completion percentage? Or was that Caleb Williams did enough to win the game and that's all that matters? Is Kyle Manungai at the top of your list for big shocks? Again, curious. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Got a lot of stuff on the show. I'm leading it off, or excuse me, handing it off to Dustin Rhodes at 5 o'clock. He'll lead you into Mullion Hall, where they got Olin Krutz and TJ Edwards at 7 and 8. Raheem Harrison, Grody have Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 1. And then Spiegel and Holmes, they got Kurt Warner and Chris Emma back from Cincy at 3 and 525. But let's go out to one of my guys, one of my favorites, Sheik. Out in West Town, Sheik, what's going on, brother?
You recorded.
Sheik. Oh, I was going to say. What's up, brother?
Greetings and salutations.
Talk to me about this one, because I know you got big, big thoughts on this one.
Well, there's 4 points I want to look at real quick.
I love it.
Oh, you laugh at me already. So first off, Kyle Manunga, okay, seventh round pick. If you look at the landscape of all the running backs that were drafted this year, this is the greatest running back draft class, a lot of guys said, in years. There's Omarion Hampton. There's Junkins.
We got them. It's a lot. There's a lot of them.
And there's Scataboo. This guy is going to do, if he gets the attempts, if he gets going forward, he's going to be more productive than Genty this year.
Come on. First off, come on, dude.
No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No. Keep going. That was number one. You got three more to go. So I want to give you your due diligence.
Okay. The second one is how upsetting it is that old men can still dictate the games in football. Joe Flacco went out there today. He wasn't even on the Bengals all preseason, first four or five games, and he's been out there the last 3 weeks acting like he's been their quarterback for 15 years. I mean, it's insane to me that all these play callers and offenses and everything, you can have somebody could come in and be like, okay, here's the playbook, here you go. And his presence in the pocket, I'm a Bears homer. I'm a meatball Bears fan. But for the Bengals, as many sacks as Burrow has had in the last 3 years, this is the same old line that Burrow's behind. And Joe Flacco, like today, he did get three. But, I mean, he comes in and he runs it and he gets the ball out quick. This shows you value in the old guy. Third point, that throw Caleb made the call to Colston. There was four defenders within less than 5 yards of Colston. I'm sorry. I get it. And I was a keep adjusting guy, get Joe Alton, draft everybody, and get all the draft picks guy. But I haven't seen a throw by a Bears quarterback in forever. That throw he threw between four defenders, they were so surprised that ball even got into Colson's hands. That's why they couldn't even handle that situation. Because I'm sure they didn't expect it. There was literally, look at the tape, there was four defenders within 5 yards of him on that play. And that was amazing. I'm sorry. All these people that say whatever about Caleb, I'm thankful we have Caleb now. I'm thankful that I was completely wrong on keeping Justin and building Dole and doing all the extra picks and doing whatever. I don't expect Caleb to be a top five quarterback. If he's just top 10 or 12, we can win a lot of games and have a chance every year to contend for a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. For God's sakes, Rex Grossman took us to a Super Bowl as quarterback, even though it was the defense and the running game. But even that year, he wasn't even a top 18 quarterback. So, and my fourth point is, this Ben Johnson, man, the Bears have it's insane to me that what they've been doing the last few years money-wise, because they never do that kind of stuff, spending on all what they've done. And thank God they invested into somebody. Even, you don't know, he might be out in a year or two. But as of right now, I mean, nobody can say in the NFL, there's maybe three coaches out of all the teams. I'm not asking the staff, the players, but the fans, who do you want as your coach? There's maybe three or four coaches outside of Ben Johnson. I don't know what he's doing there. I'm not there. Obviously, I'm a fan. But, man, those guys are playing their butts off. And your screener told me to make sure I kept my language in check. I don't know if I was on a list for guys that
No, bro. It's 4 in the morning, so anybody that's up at this time, we got to let them know. They probably had a few, you know? Like, I'm sure you probably had a few, you know?
Yeah, I fell asleep at 7. And I got up at 3, and I was like, I got to call Gabe.
You know it. You know therapist Gabe is here. Now, listen, Sheik, I love your points. Ben Johnson, certainly one of the most sought-after coaches in the league, not just from front offices, but from fan bases as well, like you said, right? Who do you want to be coaching your team? And I think that he's proven over the course of the last 8 games that he is certainly capable of being a top coach in the league. Caleb to Colston. Listen, he makes throws like that often. He has a level of believability in his arm, right? And we see it week in and week out where he tries to thread the ball in, whether it's him on the run or on a bootleg, or if it's just he himself trying to extend plays. Joe Flacco, that's the anomaly, right? Because we hear it too often. Oh, this is Caleb Williams' first year in this offense. It's going to be so hard. And then we see examples like this where, you know, veteran quarterbacks come in off the street, and we saw Baker Mayfield do it with the Rams a couple of years ago. You see
Jacoby Brissett,
right, obviously coming in. I mean, guys that can handle business, but Joe Flacco to just come out and be like, bro, I don't even know this offense, but I got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. I'm going to throw for 470 yards. I don't even need to know the plays. When I touch my helmet, that's going to be a fade route, okay? And when I wiggle my hand, that's going to be an out route. Like, they got, he's like playing backyard football. Okay, now,
exactly.
Now I get to,
because
that's not even the one that I want to spend time on. Now I want to get back to this Kyle Manunga, Ashton Jeanty thing that you just, ridiculousness that you just said.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous, Sheik. Come on. You're not going to sit up here and say if Kyle Manunga had the touches, he'd be able to outproduce Ashton Jeanty. Like, come on. I know you're a homer, and I know you're a meatball, but don't be a big meatball.
Okay, can I say one statement before you kill me on it?
Sure.
The talent that Manunga went against in college and still put up those numbers when he was at Rutgers. Who even knows where Rutgers is at?
It's in New Jersey.
And he was the leading rusher in the Big Ten and second up for 2 years. Jeanty never saw the competition Manunga did. And what I saw today when he was running, I mean, I couldn't believe. Like, when he was like hurting the defense. He's the closest thing to MJD I've seen in years. And I'm not saying he's going to be MJD, but at least that style, I mean, 5'9", 205, but he's solid. And that guy is, I mean, I don't know. And I'm saying, Ashton Jeanty, thank God we didn't draft him.
Stop it, I mean, dude. You're making great points. And I'm only talking to him like this because I know Sheik. But you're making great points. But, like, if Ashton Jeanty was running behind the Bears' offensive line, right, you're talking about a terrible, terrible Las Vegas Raiders team. Terrible. And you're trying to compare Kyle Manunga. Like, I can't even believe that you're doing it. Trying to compare Kyle Manunga and making it sound like the Bears got the best running back out of the entire draft.
Well, I would make a gentleman's bet with you going forward. if Kyle Manunga gets 75% of the carries that Jeanty's going to get the rest of the year, Kyle Manunga will overproduce him.
Well, first of all, he's not going to get that many carries, right? Because DeAndre Swift's on this team. Come on, stop it. you want Tyson Bagent and Kyle Manunga running the offense for the Chicago Bears.
No, I don't want Tyson. Caleb's our guy, man. Caleb's a beast. I love him.
Hey, Sheik, I appreciate the call, man, and getting the gears rolling on a nice little Monday at almost 4 a.m, man. Have a good night, all right, brother?
We're going to start cards up again in 2 weeks.
I heard Sam was saying something about that, so hit me up. You know I'm in.
You know, I love you, man.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon. My guy Sheik right there. Super diehard Bears fan. And super 670 The Score meatball. So it's not just me he's calling. He almost cried when he found out that I was on The Score, because that's how much he loves both me and The Score. But again, phone lines are open. Want to hear from you. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. So we hand it over to Dustin Rhodes, who then does the hot potato to Mullion Hall, just like the Bears did on that touchdown from DJ to Caleb Williams. They got Olin Cruz and TJ Edwards at 7-8. Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder jump on at 11-1 with Raheemy Harrison Grody. And then Spiegel and Holmes. They got Kurt Warner at 3. And then at 5:25, Chris Emma joins the fellas. And of course, he covered the game in Cincinnati. But let's go back out to the phone lines. Jim in Lockport. Love to talk to you, man. Glad you're back on the show again. What did you think about Caleb's performance yesterday?
I thought it was par. It was okay. He had no mistakes, which was good. But I did notice that he's using the check down in this game a lot more than what he did in the past. And I think that's part of his problem. I think Caleb wants the stats, and he thinks by always going downfield, that would give him better stats. When in reality, using the check down and letting the guys use their legs to get him the yards that he needs for his stats, that's what he's starting to see, and that's going to become his maturity as the season goes on.
Yeah, it did seem like a par performance from Caleb. You know, 20 for 34 is just not good enough, right? And obviously you get the job done. Thank God for the rest of the team and how bad Bengals defense is. But we're trying to figure out what the ceiling of this team is, what the ceiling of Caleb Williams is. And it seems as though we can never get a consistent enough performance that we can then say, this is who Caleb Williams is.
I would agree with that, but you got to remember, Josh Allen, it was year three before you figured out what he was going to be. When Josh Allen was going into year three, it was a must win for him, or they were going to consider him a bust. So I'm not trying to compare him to Josh Allen, but with Ben Johnson being here going into next year, I think from this point on, the improvement level is going to increase because I think Caleb had to see for himself by using the check down was better than trying to have him always go to Rome, which, by the way, Rome isn't 100% catching the ball like he should. He's dropping a lot that are in the breadbasket. And I got him in my fantasy game, and, boy, I tell you what, he's a 50-50 guy. And you know what? Yesterday, he didn't get one ball. He had zero catches, and they won that game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, listen, there's so much to unpack right there. You know, obviously, Romo Dunze, no catches, hurts a lot of people's souls, especially when he dropped the one in the end zone, which he should have had. But, you know, you got to find other people. People are understanding that Romo Dunze is a top target for Caleb Williams. So what happens? Safety help no longer goes to DJ Moore. That's why he ends up with four catches for 72 yards. The safety help leaves DJ Moore, goes over to Romo Dunze, so the seam routes are more open. That's why you see Colston Loveland leaning a little bit more. So it all works in cohesion with one another, but you definitely want to see a little bit more from both, right? Romo Dunze should never have a game without a catch. Never. It should never happen.
I agree. And then this Jaden Daniels-Caleb Williams matchup, how's that working out for everybody? Because Jaden Daniels doesn't have the frame to be a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what we said. Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate when you chime in, as always. 312-644-6767. Bears defeat the Cincinnati Bengals 47-42 on a last-minute touchdown to Colston Loveland. Bears were up 14, ended up giving up 15 points in the last minute. And then, of course, the Bears had to really get themselves out. But, you know, Kyle Manungai is the belle of the ball today, right? He didn't just run the ball. He ran the show for the Chicago Bears. 26 carries on the day. Jahmyr Gibbs only did that once under Ben Johnson. David Montgomery only did that once under Ben Johnson. So for Kyle Manungai to do it in his first game ever says a lot. Now, I've been saying that it says more about Caleb Williams and how Ben Johnson realized he couldn't lean on good old 1-8. He had to lean on his run game instead. He had to lean on a seventh-round rookie instead. And he felt like that was the way to victory, more so than, you know, letting Caleb throw 44 times. But he was an engine, right? He was not just the engine. He was like the steering wheel, the gasoline, the gas pedal. The performance was definitely, you know, one for the books. To get 26 carries, 176 yards on your first start, it's like, whew. And then you get him back. You get DeAndre Swift back. I mean, it's going to be a nice little tandem that I was concerned about it at the beginning of the year. And then we mentioned Romo Dunze, zero catches. Like, zero catches? Zero? You don't get the Ferrari and leave it in the garage on a sunny day, right? You got to find out ways to get him the ball, and I'm sure they'll do that. But it's good to have multiple weapons. It's good to have a Kyle Manungai when DeAndre Swift is unavailable. It's good to have Colston Loveland and a DJ Moore when Roma Dunze is falling short. That's the beauty of this team, and they are finding different ways to win. And you can, and it's like Ben Johnson said, you cannot apologize for wins in the NFL. All right, let's take one more before we go to break. Let's go to Jordan out in Indy. Jordan, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on this Bears game?
Not in Indy. I'm in Highland, Indiana. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
Before I get into my Bears game, can I tell you a quick story?
I love it. I got time.
Quick story about what I'm doing right now. Whatever. You've seen Goodfellas before, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Of course. You remember when they got the key from the guy. They walked in, got the case, and they had a good score, right?
Okay.
And so and you remember in that movie they say, you know, we did the right thing. We paid Paulie. We made sure Paulie had his money.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. No, exactly. What you're talking about.
So what I'm doing right now is I'm doing the right thing. I was out having some libations with some friends or whatever, and one of the guys, he's not necessarily a buddy per se, but he was popped. The guy was popped. He was drunk, and so what I'm doing right now is me and another buddy, we're driving this guy home an hour away.
Oh my God.
To drop this guy off, make sure this guy gets home safe. You know, so I'm doing a public announcement, you know, a public service for everyone to make sure this man.
That's hilarious.
Didn't drive an hour home the way he was.
I would have said, Jordan, you're better than me. I would have sent his ass in an Uber on his phone. I would have used his phone to call himself an Uber.
I tried to do that or whatever. I said, you know what? I said, bro, I'm trying to do you. You know, let me say it like this: it was an hour round trip, so it's about a half.
Oh, okay,
hour
that's not bad. That's not bad.
So it was one of those things. I said, man, I said, bro, I said I could call you an Uber. I said, oh, I could take you know, I said I could do you a solid and drop you off. I said, but you're not getting these keys, so I don't know whatever you want to do. So I just want to do that. It was my.
Jordan, you're a good guy. I appreciate you.
It's my public. You know, that's my help for the public for the day or whatever.
So, I support it.
But anyway, the reason I was calling besides that was, you know, this is the thing about the Bears, and this is what I really truly believe about the Bears, is that, you know, the ceiling is low. It's like, you know, it's not going to, we might maybe get a sneak into the playoffs, but it's not going to be anything spectacular.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a new regime. So I feel like the Ben Johnson is still trying to mold and find the talent that he really wants on both sides of the ball, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So, Caleb Williams, you know, and he's still trying to mold Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, he's not a finished product. You know what I'm saying? He's not getting to that. He's not getting on his back, the top of his drop and being decisive with his throw. He's not doing it. And then until he does that, he's not going to be truly successful in the league. You know, I like the fact that he has the wherewithal in the fourth quarter to bring us back. He's done that. He did that last year. He's done it this year or whatever. You know, so until he gets all that else, you know, figured out, you know, there's going to be some limitations. But I still think that we have the right coach. And the coach that's going to be able to mold this team, and the offense to where he wants to, and when he gets his talent that he really wants, you know, we might be a damn dangerous team, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Jordan, and kudos to you for taking care of your friend. You are a good one, man. If only everyone had friends like you, because I would not have driven that. He would have to stay at my house. I would have to bring him back to my house or call him an Uber, one or the other. But you bring up some great points. Caleb does work to do. That we know. The ceiling for the Bears is lower than we should be making it, right? Hopefully the playoffs. You're hoping for that. A lot of games left. You got to find out how you're going to win five more with everything that's out there. But, you know, at least he's putting you in a position, right? The Bears could be just losing these games. And we could be, oh my gosh, if Caleb wasn't saving us at the end of these, it'd be terrible. But I'm curious your thoughts, right? Your thoughts on this one. Did special teams put you behind the eight ball from the jump? Did you feel that way? Are the Bears at 5-3 good? Or are they just entertaining? That's the question I have for you when you're looking at this team. How do you feel about them? Because even at 5-3, I can't say the Bears are good. Not good. They're all right. They're Carlos Boozer good. I'll explain that to you on the other side. But I want to hear your thoughts. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Your phone calls next right here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.